Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello there, I'm Andrew McDermott. Today I'm speaking again with chemist Marcos Eberlin. Eberlin is a member of the Brazilian Academy of Sciences, and he holds a PhD in chemistry from the University of Campinas. He's the former president of the International Mass Spectrometry Foundation and has published close to 1,000 scientific articles. Marcos Eberlin is author of the new book, Foresight: How the Chemistry of Life Reveals Planning and Purpose. Marcos, great to have you back.
It's my pleasure, Andrew.
Well, in a previous episode, we discussed examples of foresight in chemistry and biology, as detailed in your new book, Foresight. You gave us your thoughts on Dr. James Tuer's evaluation of the current state of origin of life research, and you detailed cellular processes that exhibit foresight, including the process of protein folding, the relationship between enzymes and cells, and you told us about molecular chaperones, essential structures that are crucial in protein synthesis, and which present materialists with yet another difficult chicken-or-egg problem. Cells need chaperones for building proteins properly, and yet chaperones are themselves built of proteins that must be built and maintained by other chaperones. Now, before we get into other examples of foresight today, let me read a short passage from your book because it helps set the stage for our discussion. You say, "To the benefit of science, we should then ask, could this incredible and highly diversified system of error recognition and correction, involving a myriad of highly selective and sophisticated macromolecules, arise by an unguided and blind natural process?" Darwinists have answered with a loud yes to this question, and explained, quote-unquote, the emergence of chaperones by relying on vague just-so stories. But these stories are starved of specifics on how these wonders of nanotechnology could have evolved one plausible mutational step at a time. That's from your book, Foresight. So could cellular structures like chaperones, Marcos, have arisen by an unguided and blind natural process? I mean, there's so much time available. Couldn't it just happen slowly over time?
Oh, Andrew, I don't believe so. This is not a solution that we could wait for life to find or to solve, because we know that many proteins are needed for life. Life is not a simple business. You need many, many proteins. Well, there are some calculations that says that you need at least 300 proteins. And several of those 300 proteins will have trouble to find the proper shape. Finding the proper functional shape for a protein, it's a really complicated business because there are so many different shapes, and the surface, the potential surface for a protein, have some wells that, and the proteins could be trapped in wrong wells. And that would be a disaster for life, because if a protein fails to fold properly, it will make clumps, and those clumps would be lethal. So that's not a solution that you could afford for a long time to provide. It's an all or nothing game. Proteins are needed for life. Many proteins which are needed for life, they fail to fold properly, so they need help from chaperones. So chaperones should be there from the very beginning, in the very first place. Otherwise, the poor cell would be killed by those clamps of improperly folded proteins. So it's all or nothing. You need chaperones. And worse, as you just read from my book, chaperones themselves, they also need help to self-fold properly. So you need chaperones for chaperones. So it's a big, big dilemma for evolution. The solution should be there from the very beginning. A mind capable of foresight should have predicted, calculated, actually, in the very, very ingenious way, that some proteins would need help to fold properly and should then provide the solutions, the chaperones. So there is no way out. The best scientific conclusion from chaperones is that an intelligent mind made life, and life was made ready to go with proteins and with chaperones from the very beginning of life in this planet.
Wow. Well, let's move on to other examples in the chemistry of life. Is there foresight involved in the production of DNA and RNA in the cell?
Well, for sure, Andrew. I also talk in the book about the DNA and RNA molecules. They are also amazing molecules. Oh, the whole chemistry of life is full of wonders. It's truly, truly fantastic. Like, to make a DNA, you need three different classes of chemicals. You need a phosphate anion, and then you need sugar, ribose, and then you need those nucleic bases. Then you need to connect them properly. And when you look at the reactions that connect those pieces together, you see that the reactions are too slow. They would take billions of years to occur. And then you need enzymes to connect those molecules. But the problem is that DNA code for the enzymes, and those enzymes are needed to make DNA. So this is another chicken or egg dilemma for evolution. So who came first? The DNA molecule that need those reactions to link the parts together, or the enzymes that speed up those reactions for the DNA molecule to be synthesized? Nothing should have come first. They should come at the same time, because there is a synergistic interplay with the enzymes in DNA. And there are so many other wonders about those molecules. Like, the ribose is used for RNA, but you go to the DNA, you have the deoxyribose sugar there. And the hydroxy group has been removed. And when you look for the reason for that, it's also an ingenious solution for the stability of both molecules. RNA should not be so much stable. So the hydroxy group there degrades the molecule in a few minutes. But the DNA should be stable for a long time. So the hydroxy group has been removed. So there is a lot of foresight involved in those molecules. And we must surrender to the evidence and conclude that a mind capable of foresight was planning for RNA, was planning for DNA. And our conclusion is based on chemistry, on the best chemistry possible, that an intelligent mind is the best explanation for life.
Wow. Well, in your book, you also talk about the need for gates that are installed in cell membranes to allow transport of water, for instance, through the membrane. For that, you describe the aquaporin gate that transports water. What's so special about aquaporins, and why do you so enthusiastically see foresight in those?
Well, Andrew, if I would mention the best example from chemistry in favor of foresight, I think I would say the aquaporins would be for me the best. And why? Because this is a really, truly amazing gate. You know, have the cell membrane, protects the cell from invaders. But water permeates this wall, otherwise life would not be possible. So those gates, aquaporins, are specially designed to let the water go through. And you look at the shape of the gate, it's perfectly designed for the water molecules to enter. The diameter of the gate fits perfectly the diameter of the water. And there's more. You know, we know from chemistry that water works as a proton wire. So every time that water passes through a gate, protons should also pass along with water. And protons make the environment acidic. So there was a major problem with that gate that had to be solved in advance. If the gate allows water molecules to enter the cell, it would also allow acid to enter, and the life would be destroyed. So what was the solution? The ingenious solutions for an intelligent mind, the best chemist of all. It, exactly at the passage, the region that the water enters this gate, there was placed there a special amino acid we call asparagine. And this asparagine, it acts as a plier, a molecular plier. And it cuts this proton wire in a very ingenious way. It's hard to explain, so I'll only tell you that it works as a plier. And it cuts the proton wire. And so the water enters the cell in a very pure way. Only water molecules are able to pass the gate. And the bad guys, the protons, are kept outside. And from a chemical point of view, it's a very, very intelligent solution. It was a mind that knew chemistry at its very best, that planned for that gate. And I think it makes the strongest case for foresight, the strongest case for intelligent design.
And you point out that the discovery of molecular water channels earned the 2003 Nobel Prize in Chemistry. And then you said something really interesting in your book. You said, if Nobel-caliber intelligence was required to figure out how this existing engineering marvel works, what was required to invent it in the first place? That's a great question. People give the selection mutation mechanism way too much credit, don't they?
For sure, Andrew. You know, only to discover it took a lot of ingenuity, a lot of intelligence. So how come that now that we say that to construct the gate, it was an unguided, mindless process? It makes no sense, does it? It is really ridiculous and fallacious, as Dr. Tu described chemical evolution, to propose that this ingenious gate that required a lot of foresight, a lot of knowledge of chemistry, and a gate that was constructed with so much chemical engineering knowledge involved. Is it reasonable to suggest that this is an accident from a natural, unguided process? I don't believe so. It's the strongest evidence, I would say, from a chemical point of view, that a mind capable of foresight, planned for life, planned for the walls of our cells, and also planned for the perfect gate. And this is conclusion from scientific data that we should surrender to it.
Well, that's it settled. Every time I open the science news now, I'm going to have my big bucket of salt so that I can take their extrapolation and their data with a pinch of salt. Well, that's all the time we have today, Marcos, to talk about this. It's been a great conversation, and I've really enjoyed learning about all these examples of foresight in life, some we don't even know about and some we just take for granted. So thank you for your time. I know it's valuable, and it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
It was a pleasure to talk about the chemistry, and we only touch at the surface. The deeper we go, Andrew, the more and more we find examples of foresight, ingenious foresight, a mind that knew chemistry at its very best, planned for life. Let's surrender to the data and make this conclusion finally.
Well, if you want to dig deeper, you know what to do. Pick up a copy of Marcos Eberlin's book, Foresight, How the Chemistry of Life Reveals Planning and Purpose. You can order it online, make your favorite bookstore, get it in store for you, do whatever you need to get a hold of this book. And for more episodes like these, you can tune into idthefuture.com or just look through your favorite podcast app and get a hold of it that way. For ID the Future, I am Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.